Welcome to Postscript, where we teach, chat, and rant about narrative and film. I'm Tori, and I prepare and guide each episode.
And I'm David, and this is part two of the season on Patter, and that's all I know.
Yes, this is the second and final part of the season, which is about the style of writing, dialogue, and performance that was used in the 30s, 40s, and 50s in gangster movies, film noir, and other crime movies to show toughness, edginess, and cleverness, which is a style I'm calling Patter. And this is also the episode where we're going to have some Patter trivia. So another influence on Patter that I'd like to mention from the time is comedy. I don't know where it would have started exactly, but if you think of a comedian like Groucho Marx from the Marx Brothers.
He's had a change of heart.
A lot of good that'll do him. He's still got the same face.
Which was very popular in the late 20s and early 30s when these major gangster movies are coming out. Like, there are a lot of similarities to Patter there. The super fast, staccato, monotone delivery and the New York accent, which he also had.
I thought this cigar was in my other suit.
I wish you were in your other suit and your other suit was being pressed.
I think both of these became associated through him and probably others just with being like clever, quick-witted, wisecracking, street smart. So all this stuff is kind of overlapping.
Why, a four-year-old child could understand this report. Run out and find me a four-year-old child. I can't make a head or tail out of it.
You get the idea.
Yeah. Which one's Groucho? Is he the one with the mustache?
The,
yeah, the three the mustaches.
Three mustaches?
Yeah, he has one for each eyebrow, and he's a third one.
Yeah, like when you put on the disguise, it looks like Groucho Marx.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you're the man I've been dreaming of.
What do you eat before you go to bed?
I'm going to play another clip here from The Big Sleep from 1946.
Okay.
Convenient, the door being open when you didn't have a key.
Yeah, wasn't it? By the way, how'd you happen to have one?
Is that any of your business?
I could make it my business.
I could make your business mine.
Well, you wouldn't like it. The pay's too small.
It's a very, like, Groucho Marx delivery.
Yeah.
Then by the 1940s, one of the most prominent forms of comedy was called the screwball comedy. Which is a style of romantic comedy. They're like bizarre situation comedies with like love triangles, like a comedy of errors kind of a thing. Anyway, this fast-talking comic dialogue also became very popular in those movies and was meant to show cleverness or maybe even like city life, but it was often spoken by WASP characters. So if you think of His Girl Friday, do you remember that one from 1940?
Not by the title.
Cary Grant, there's a couple of reporters. There's really, really...
I remember.
There's really...
The keyword was reporters.
Reporters, yeah.
Lots of telephones also.
Yes, lots of telephones, which... And it takes place in New York, and it features a lot of this over-the-top, fast-paced talking and, like, wisecracking banter with, like, cross-talking happening.
No.
You're gonna help me out.
Don't
bother me. Get out of here, Duffy. I'm busy.
No,
look,
please, save your breath.
This will bring us back together again, just the way we used to be.
That's what I'm afraid of. Any time, any place, anywhere.
Oh, don't mock me. This is bigger than anything ever happened to us. Don't do it for me. Do it for the paper.
Scram, Svengali.
If you won't do it for love, how about money?
Which leads me to another scene from a screwball comedy from 1938 called Bringing Up Baby. We also watched this one together, which I don't think you remember this one very well, but it has Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn, and a leopard. Do you remember a leopard?
Yeah, it kind of rings a bell.
Where, anyway, Katharine Hepburn has this amazing scene where she makes fun of Patter. In the movie, she's arrested because of various shenanigans that she gets into. And she pretends to be a gangster who's about to rat on other gang members. So they let her out of the cell long enough for her to distract them and escape. So Katharine Hepburn is like the most WASPy person you could ever imagine. She's super like old New England, well-bred and all that. And she has like that transatlantic or mid-Atlantic accent. So it's kind of like a fusion between like a British accent and an American accent. So to hear her imitate this, Like, that's how you would know that at that time, this was already, like, an identifiable thing. Like, it was a joke or, like, a meme. People knew that this kind of accent with this kind of dialogue was a thing.
The Marble calls me Swingin' Door Susie.
Swingin' Door Susie.
Now, do you pick me? Come on, toots, open up.
Stop that. I'm not opening any doors around here until you promise to talk.
Listen, I'll talk. I'll talk so much it'll make your hair curl.
You'll talk. You hear that, Doc? She's promised to talk. All right, I'll open her up.
Constable, she's making all this up out of motion pictures she's seen.
Yeah, it's funny. It's really funny. And it's, yeah, it works so much better now, you know, like after we talked about it.
Mm-hmm. You, like, understand what she's referencing now.
Yeah, yeah, I have a much better understanding of what, yeah, exactly.
Over time, it did become more and more of, like, a tongue-in-cheek joke, I think. Like, it sort of went off in different directions, and, like, I didn't research enough about to really say, like, much about what happened after this, but either way, I think it's still kind of with us in different ways. Like, once we got to the 50s, it was more about naturalism when talking about gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it had a more serious tone. Like, we watched The Sweet Smell of Success.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a lot of on-location shooting, and they were kind of steering away from patter because it did sound pretty unserious and, like, contrived, scripted. So,
yeah.
They were going for more, like, authenticity by that point.
Yeah.
Sweet
Smell of Success is really good. I would love to rewatch that.
Yeah, that's a really great movie.
Yeah.
Through the 50s, you know, there was, like, this Italian-American new resurgence, like, with Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack, and, like, it kind of, like I was saying, it was, like, merging old-school patter with, like, slang picked up from the time, mostly from, like, Black Americans and the jazz scene, and but it had more of, like, a slower, laid-back cadence with a lot of, you know, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed in. I mean, not like it wasn't probably taken from Black Americans originally anyway.
I was gonna ask, was it?
I mean, we're talking about, like, the most impoverished, marginalized groups in cities. So I'm sure there was some mixing going on, and obviously there weren't many movie depictions of Black people.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, any that were anywhere near realistic in the 30s, so...
So you would say, like, at least there is a strong Black influence on this. It was just never made it to the movies.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have been depicted in the movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like, you have neo-noir, which was mostly in, like, the 70s, and many of them take place in the 30s and 40s, like Chinatown or The Godfather. But they hardly use patter at all in those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not, like, hearing Al Pacino use patter in those movies, you know? They really steered away from that by that point.
Would you consider The Godfather as a neo-noir?
Yeah, not a noir, but a gangster movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, like, talking like they're, like, she? You know? Like, they're not, like...
Yeah.
And then, like, but you also get into other gangster movies, like Scorsese movies, and he does make use of, like, interesting slang. And most of his actors actually are from New York, so they do have that accent.
Mm-hmm.
And they do sometimes speak with, like, a sort of a scripted, pre-scripted seeming way, but it's not really the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the same, but they definitely have, like, you know, like, weird slang and a lot of one-liners. So it's, I would... say, like, it's probably, you could at least say it's influenced by it.
I mean, he obviously knows all of these movies. I mean, he's just a huge movie nerd in general.
Yeah,
so.
He's a giant nerd, so yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now it's time to test your knowledge with some patter trivia. So the way this works is there's 21 questions total. I'll be asking you to define words used in patter in the context of their sentence. So yeah, there will be a clip, and then I'll read what was said. So there's three rounds, and the way I'll do it is I'll So listeners at home can obviously play along.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read each question in a round. So the first round is 7 questions, the second round has 8, and the last has 6. And they get progressively harder.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read each question in that round. You can write down your answer on a piece of paper or on your phone, and then I'll give you all the answers at the end of each round, and then at the end you can tally up all the ones you got right, and they all are worth the same.
So I just write it down?
Yep. And if you get more than 14, you're a wise guy. If you get 7 to 14, you're a shyster.
Wow, a shyster.
And if you get less than 7, well, you're just a no good dirty mug.
No good dirty mug. Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Round 1, question 1. You have to do something more Phil Norrie. That's much better. Okay, this is from This is from The Public Enemy from 1931.
It means real dough. A three-way split.
It means real dough. A three-way split. What is dough?
Okay.
Ready? Question number 2. This is from Scarface from 1932.
Now listen, I'm going to cut you in on a percentage, give you a raise, doubles. The South Side is rolling in, Jack. All we got to do is step in and take it.
I'm going to cut you in on a percentage, give you a raise, doubles. The South Side is rolling in, Jack. All we got to do is step in and take it. What is Jack?
Okay.
Okay, this is from The Maltese Falcon from 1941.
What do you let these cheap gunmen hang around the lobby for with their heaters bulging in their clothes?
I should say it with more of an attitude. What do you let these cheap gunmen hang around the lobby for with their heaters bulging in their clothes? What are heaters?
Okay.
Heaters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is from Double Indemnity from 1944.
Look, baby, you can't get away with it. You want to knock him off, don't you?
That's a horrible thing to say.
Look, baby, you can't get away with it. You want to knock him off, don't you? And then she answers, that's a horrible thing to say. What does it mean to knock somebody off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is from Detour from 1945.
In the meantime, let's blow this trap.
In the meantime, let's blow this trap. What does it mean to blow this trap? What does the blow mean in that?
Okay.
This is from Kiss of Death from 1947.
There was a squirt says he seen me bending over Larry Young right after he was plugged.
The squirt says he saw me bending over Larry Young right after he was plugged. What's it mean to get plugged or to be plugged?
Mm-hmm.
This is from Pick Up on South Street from 1953.
You know, I didn't need an escort from the clink back to this rat trap.
You know, I didn't need an escort from the clink back to this rat trap. What's the clink?
The clink?
I didn't need an escort from the clink back to this rat trap. Okay, you ready? Mm-hmm. See how you did on this round?
Okay.
Okay, so you can just, yeah, check or X or however you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first one from the Public Enemy. It means real dough, a three-way split. Dough is...
cash.
Cash. Money, cash. I'll take any of those answers.
You give me back my dough or there's going to be trouble.
I'm going to cut you in on a percentage, give you a raise, doubles. The South Side is rolling in Jack. All we got to do is step in and take it. What is Jack?
Deals?
Nope, it's also money. Oh. Oh, yeah, you have to make sound effects for the... number three, what do you let these cheap gunmen hang around the lobby for with their heaters bulging in their clothes? What are heaters?
Guns?
Yep. Double Indemnity. Look, baby, you can't get away with it. You want to knock him off, don't you? That's a horrible thing to say. What does it mean to knock someone off?
To hit someone?
Nope. To kill them.
Oh, fuck.
Someone knocked off Alvin McClure over at the Bronze Peacock.
Number five. In the meantime, let's blow this trap. What's blow mean?
Destroy?
Nope, it means leave.
Leave.
Kiss of death. The squirt says he saw me bending over Larry Young right after he was plugged. What's plug mean?
Plugged? Like, it's to kill?
It's a little more specific than that.
Like, to be shot?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll give you that. Pick up on South Street. You know, I didn't need an escort from the clink back to this rat trap. What's the clink?
The hood?
No, it's jail.
Oh, it's jail?
I think it comes from the door closing and going,
oh.
Clink.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is so unfair to you. Like,
it's 3 out of 7.
This is really...
And that was that was the easiest round?
That's the easiest.
Okay.
This is really hard.
Okay, next round.
Okay, round two.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one. Detour from 1945.
It won't do me any good having you pinched. The cops are no friends of mine. Now, if there was a reward, but there isn't.
It won't do me any good to have you pinched. The cops are no friends of mine. Now, if there was a reward, but there isn't. What does pinched mean? It won't do me any good to have you pinched. The cops are no friends of mine.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Easy.
Of course. Okay, number two. Little Caesar, 1931.
I want to run with your mob if you let me. What do you say? You won't be sorry for letting me in, Mr. Vittori. I'll shoot square with you. I'll do anything you say. I ain't afraid of nothing.
I want to roll with your mob if you'll let me. What do you say, Mr. Vittori? I'll shoot square with you. I'll do anything you say. I ain't afraid of nothing. What does it mean to shoot square?
Shoot square.
If you just give me, like, the gist, you know, I'll take different answers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also wonder how I would do at this test, because I had to look some stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know. From The Public Enemy from 1931.
You better lay low for a while. The heat's on.
You better lay low for a while. The heat's on. The heat's on. What does the heat's on mean? The heat is on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, also from The Public Enemy from 1931.
You taught us how to cheat, steal, and kill. And then you lammed out on us. Yeah, if it hadn't been for you, we might have been on the level.
You taught us how to cheat, steal, and kill. And then you lammed out on us. Yeah, if it hadn't been for you, we might have been on the level. What does it mean to lamb out on someone? This is really useful information.
Yeah. Okay.
From Little Caesar from 1931.
You better quit this racket. You can dish it out, but you got so that you can't take it no more.
You better quit this racket. You can dish it out, but you got it so that you can't take it no more. What's a racket? Wow, you wrote that one quickly. The Maltese Falcon, 1941.
Sorry about the story's goofiness.
A sensible one would have had us all in the cooler.
Don't worry about the story's goofiness. A sensible one would have had us all in the cooler. What's the cooler?
The cooler.
Don't worry about the story's goofiness. A sensible one would have had us all in the cooler. From The Big Sleep, 1946.
My, such a lot of guns around town, and so few brains. You know, you're the second guy I've met today that seems to think a gat in the hand means the world with a tail.
My, such a lot of guns around town, and so few brains. You know, you're the second guy I met today that seems to think a gat in the hand means the world by the tail. What is a gat? My, such a lot of guns around town and so few brains. You know, you're the second guy I met today that seems to think a gat in the hand means the world by the tail. From Kiss of Death, from 1947.
You pick up the other two. Then it'll look to the mob as if Rizzo's a stoolie and we've made a deal with him.
You pick up the other two. Then it'll look to the mob as if Rizzo is the stoolie and we've made a deal with him. What's a stoolie?
A stoolie.
Okay, that was the end of round two. Let's see how you did.
Okay.
Okay, Detour 1945. It won't do me any good to have you pinched. The cops are no friends of mine. Now if there is a reward, but there isn't. What is pinched?
To arrest?
Yeah, to get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, take it. Little Caesar 1931. I want to roll with your mob if you let me. What do you say, Mr. Vittori? I'll shoot square with you. I'll do anything you say. I ain't afraid of nothing. Shoot square.
It's to commit a crime or to rob?
No. Nope. It's like to deal fairly and honestly.
Oh, shoot square.
He'll shoot square with them.
Mm-hmm.
Public Enemy, 1931. You better lay low for a while. The heat's on. What's the heat's on?
When the cops are looking for you?
Yeah. It's when the definition I have from online, the police are exerting exceptional pressure on a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
on the gangster community. The Public Enemy, 1931. You taught us how to cheat, steal, and kill, and then you lammed out on us. Yeah, if it hadn't been for you, it might have been on the level. What is lammed out?
To quit?
Yeah, we'll take it. I have like leave or abandon, but mm-hmm. Yeah, quit.
That's how I meant it.
Yeah. To like kind of like going on the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Lammed out. Little Caesar, 1931. You better quit this racket. You can dish it out, but you got it so you can't take it anymore. No more. Rather. What is a racket?
Bullshit.
No. It's, I would take like job or something like that. It's like, an illegal enterprise, I have the definition, an illegal enterprise carried on for profit, such as extortion, fraud, prostitution, drug, peddling, etc., or a business or occupation. Maltese Falcon, 1941. Don't worry about the story's goofiness. A sensible one would have had us all in the cooler. What's the cooler?
Jail?
Yep. Big Sleep, 1946. My, such a lot of guns around town, so few brains. You know, you're the second guy I met today that seems to think a gat in the hand means the world by the tail. What's a gat?
It's a handcuffs?
Nope. Or gun.
Oh, just gun?
Just a gun.
So many guns. I wrote
There's
gun first.
There's a lot of words for gun, jail, money.
I wrote gun first, and I was like, no, I think it's more about getting arrested.
Oh, sorry. Kiss of Death, 1947. You pick up the other two, then I'll look to the mob as if Rizzo is the stoolie and you've made a deal with him. What's a stoolie?
An informer?
Yep.
A rat?
Yep.
Also snitch?
Yes, snitch, a rat. Also known as a stool pigeon. Don't know how that, any of these
stool
words.
Stool pigeon?
Yeah. That's like the longer version, I guess, or it could be a stoolie. Someone acting as an informer or decoy for the police.
What kind of talk is that, calling me a stoolie? I was brought up to report any injustice to the police authorities. I call that being a solid citizen.
But you get paid for it.
You're gonna knock it?
Well, I got 5. So I did better than the first round.
Nice. I think you're already... Oh, yeah, you're already a shyster.
I'm already a shyster?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know if you can
be... That was my goal.
Yeah, I don't know if you can be a wise guy, but you're already a shyster, so we'll take it. Okay.
I don't wish to be a wise guy. I'm fine with just being a shyster.
Okay, round 3. There are 6 questions. Question number 1 is from The Public Enemy from 1931.
Now, Dutch here knows the whole layout. We've been casing the joint for a whole week.
Now Dutch here knows the whole layout. We've been casing the joint for a whole week. What does it mean to case? What do they mean by casing the joint?
Hmm.
These are really hard. This round is really hard.
Yeah. Casing the joint. Mm-hmm.
Number 2. From The Public Enemy... from 1931.
Well, I haven't got a thing to say, boys. But I got the Indian sign on you, Tom. He thinks you're a cinch. In a pig's eye, that McGonagall ain't got a chance.
You have to define what the first guy is saying and then what the second guy is saying, okay. Essentially. So the first guy says, well, I ain't got a thing to say, boys, but he's got the Indian sign on you, Tom. He thinks you're a cinch. So that's the first part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part, Tom responds, in a pig's eye, that McGonagall ain't got a chance. So you basically have to get Indian sign, a cinch, pig's eye, and McGonagall.
And you count it as one?
Yes.
Wow, you're so fair.
It's a tough racket.
Yeah, I don't know. I skipped this one.
Well, you want to move on to the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 3. Detour from 1945.
Before I got done reading it, I saw him more as a chiseler.
Before I got done reading it, I saw him more as a chiseler. What's a chiseler? Before I got done reading it, I saw him more as a chiseler. Detour 1945.
You're being a goon. That's the way people wind up behind the eight ball. Once they get a few dollars, they become greedy and want more.
My.
Caesar.
Who?
You know that Roman general? He got his for being greedy. He wasn't satisfied, so the final wind up was he took the count.
You're a big goon. That's how people end up behind the eight ball. Once they get a few dollars, they become greedy and want more. And then the other person says, my. The other person says, Caesar. And the other person says, who? And they say, you know that Roman general? He got his for being greedy. He wasn't satisfied. So the final windup was he took the count. So you have to define behind the eight ball. And so the final windup was he took the count. So the sentences are basically like, you're being a goon. That's how people end up behind the eight ball. Once they get a few dollars, they become greedy and want more. And then Caesar, you know that Roman general, he got his for being greedy. He wasn't satisfied. So the final windup was he took the count.
Okay, next.
Okay, jeez. I don't know if that means you got it or you didn't get it. Okay, The Big Sleep, 1946.
It's lucky for you I didn't shoot Geiger. Yeah, but you can step off for it just the same, Joe. You're made to order for the rap.
It's lucky for you I didn't shoot Geiger. Yeah, but you can step off for it just the same. You're made to order for the rap. What does he mean by you're made to order for the rap? It's lucky for you I didn't shoot Geiger. Yeah, but you can step off for it just the same. You're made to order for the rap. Okay, and in honor of our Yiddish-speaking Italians,
mm-hmm.
I have the last one is a Yiddish one. The Big Sleep, 1946.
Guy's playing a hand, I let him play it. I'm no kibitzer.
The guy's playing a hand, I let him play it. I'm no kibitzer. What's a kibitzer?
A kibitzer?
Probably shyster is also Yiddish, I'm not sure. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Public Enemy 1931, now Dutch here knows the whole layout. We've been casing the joint for a whole week. What's it mean to case the joint?
To observe?
Yep, to watch or examine a place.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Public Enemy 1931, well, I ain't got a thing to say, boys, but he's got the Indian sign on you, Tom. He thinks you're a cinch in a pig's eye. That McGonagall ain't got a chance. Want to try for any of them?
Like, the Indian sign is like, he wants to kill you?
Apparently.
Like you're on their shit list?
Apparently it means he cursed you.
Cursed you?
I do find that strange, and I would accept your answer because the way they're using it makes it sound like what you're saying and not a curse. But when I looked it up, it said it was a curse.
Okay.
So he thinks you're a cinch.
A cinch is a snitch?
A cinch.
A cinch? I don't know.
He means like he thinks you're easy to deal with. Like, oh. A cinch is something that's easy.
Uh-huh.
And then the answer is, in a pig's eye, that McGonagall ain't got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses?
I skipped that one because I'm already a shyster.
Okay.
And that's good enough for me.
Okay, well, for anyone listening, in a pig's eye would be like, if kind of like if pigs could fly, like, not a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then that McGonagall ain't got a chance. It's like McGonagall is just, I guess, a slur for Irish or just a name for Irish. I'm not sure how offensive it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the line is like, well, I ain't got a thing to say, boys. He's cursed you. He thinks you're easy to deal with. And the response is, not a chance. That Irishman ain't got a chance. Not a chance that Irishman ain't got a chance.
Yeah, I think I got it.
Okay. Okay, number three. Detour 1945. Before I got done reading it...
But it's ridiculous that I would get 1 point for this. Like...
Look, it's not like you have to get a perfect score to become a wise guy anyway. So if someone out there gets it, they're going to be really proud of themselves.
Okay.
All right. Well, if anyone out there can possibly get number two in full, you know.
Let us know. Just make sure to write the message with, you know, like with this type of language.
Yeah, that's essential. Okay. Number three, Detour 1945. Before I got done reading it, I saw him more as a chiseler. What's a chiseler?
An amateur?
No. It's a person who cheats or tricks, like a swindler.
Uh-huh.
Number four. This was a two-parter also.
Mm-hmm.
Detour 1945. You're being a goon. That's how people end up behind the eight ball. Once they get a few dollars, they become greedy and want more. Blah, blah, blah. Caesar. You know that Roman general, he got his for being greedy. He wasn't satisfied. So the final windup was he took the count. So what's behind the eight ball? And then what's... So the final windup was he took the count.
Behind the eight ball is like to get arrested or like... No.
It's a little less specific than that.
Jail. Eight ball is the jail.
No, it's just kind of being in trouble.
Just being in trouble.
Yeah. And so the final windup was he took the count.
He got killed.
Yeah, and in the end he died.
Yeah.
But you don't get it because you didn't get both.
Okay, next one.
The Big Sleep 1946. It's lucky for you I didn't shoot Geiger. Yep, you can step off for it just the same. You're made to order for the rap. What's your made to order for the rap?
To kill?
Nope. It's like you're perfect as someone to be turned into the police for a crime. Like here.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the last one, number six, The Big Sleep 1946. The guy's playing a hand. I let him play it. I'm no kibitzer. What's a kibitzer?
A rookie?
Mm-mm. One who looks on and off it.
A loser?
No. One who looks on and often offers unwanted advice or comment.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I would not have gotten that.
Well, the point is...
So how many you got?
One.
Okay, so you got a total of 9?
Yeah, total of 9.
Nice. So yeah, you're still a shyster.
I'm a shyster, and I'm a very comfortable, even a proud shyster.
So just for the...
I wouldn't want to be a wise guy. That sounds like a too dangerous job for me.
Yeah. It's suspicious if you're too good at this. So for those at home, again, if you got more than 14, you're a wise guy. If you got between 7 and 14, you're a shyster. And if you got less than 7, you're just a no good dirty mug.
I wish I could speak like this. I would love to have it. That's just too much guessing.
No, you did great. You did really, really well. No, I'm glad you were a shyster, because that's perfect, because I think there will be some people who are better than you at this and some people who are worse. Oh, so
really? You think some people might be better at
this? But not that many, probably, because they probably don't watch any of these movies at all. Yeah, and there's also going to be other people listening whose first language is in English, so... But we'll see. We'll see how many wise guys we get. I'll just say one thing, is that, Mom, you better be a wise guy. So... But this is all part of why I wanted to do this episode, was to really encourage people to, like, stick with it. And sometimes I worry that, like, the genius of some of this dialogue is lost on contemporary audiences or non-native English speakers. So, like, hopefully this episode will inspire people to try to stick with it, because there's so much creative and really hilarious writing in these movies. So, you know, turn on the subtitles, look stuff up, and I think you'll find it's worth it.
It would be funny to do a dictionary, though.
There are some online.
There are?
Yeah. There are some lists of these words. So, and most of the time, I did look up a lot of words that I didn't know, and you can find them.
But yeah, it's funny, and I wish I could say goodbye in an appropriate way to our wonderful listeners.
Well, so long.
All right.
So long, folks. Thanks for listening to Postscript. The music for this episode was created by my brother, Graham. If you want to reach any of us, you can email postscriptcast@gmail.com.
I'm David, the boyfriend.